Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to my radio, my Blog Talk Radio family out there. I am so happy and blessed to be before you this morning. I pray that everyone is blessed. I am here. This is Regina Keenan. My show is called Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. Guys, I'm going to talk to you today about learning spiritual discipline. There's four spiritual disciplines that you learn. And in these four spiritual disciplines, you can do this as a family group, or you can bring some friends together and you guys can study this together. But I'm just going to go over those four disciplines with you. I'm not sure I'm going to finish it today, but if I don't, then I'll do a part two. Okay? So like I said, it's four spiritual disciplines: fasting, meditation, studying scripture, and worship. I am in love with all four of them. I love doing all four of them, especially worshiping. Oh my goodness, I just love worshiping God. So the first one we're going to talk about is the spiritual discipline of fasting. Talking to God, diving in, and going deeper. Now, first, we want to thank God for providing for our needs every day. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be more aware of God's generosity. That is so very important. I mean, that is like one of the first things that we should do when we wake up in the morning. Just give God thanks. Thank Him for, you know, watching over us while we sleep at night, protecting us, keeping us safe from harm and danger, keeping the death angels from over our head, keeping out anything, demonic spirits, the burglars, whatever. We always want to wake up and just thank God for those things, you know, and just for giving us life, breathing in us and giving us life. I'm telling you, that's the first thing that I like to do in the morning. If I don't do it as soon as I wake up, I do it shortly after. So the first one, like I said, is going to be on fasting. Now, the categories, you can write these categories out. You can have your family get a sheet of paper. Make it an activity. Make it a fun activity with the family. What you do is you're going to get a slip of paper, get it right on it, put it in a bowl. Just, you know how when you at events and they do those raffles. So you put the piece of paper in there, shuffle it around, and just pull out a name. And you're going to name your favorite category. You're going to discuss it with each one of your family members. Like I said, you can make this a fun event, a fun family event. You can have invite friends over. I mean, just have fun with it. You can even do it by yourself, but you just can't do the, you know, you can't put a bowl with some names in there and talk about them to yourself. That's not going to work. But like I said, God, just have fun worshiping God, studying God's word, meditating on his word day and night, and fasting and praying. And we all know how important it is to fast and pray. But what we should not do is wait until we are going through our trials and tribulations to fast and pray. Because you don't have to wait until something negative is going on in your house. I mean, in your life, excuse me. You can fast anytime. Fasting means giving up something that you enjoy or need for a designated period of time. Now, in the Old Testament, fasting was common for entire nations who were seeking God's help or direction. In 2 Chronicles 20:3, Jonah 3:5, and in the New Testament, Jesus fasted, Matthew 4:2, and taught his disciples about fasting. He taught them how to fast. That was very, very important to Jesus. Matthew 6:17-18, now, fasting is not always a good idea for children or pregnant women. One, children don't have the discipline to fast. And they're too young to take away food, you know, from them. Because they're young. They're not ready yet. Pregnant women, of course, you know, they need the nutrients in their bodies to provide for the baby that they're carrying. So that's one reason, a couple of reasons why it's not good for them to fast, children and pregnant women. But they can consider giving up something else that they really want or that they really like. Fasting should be a normal part of our lives. It allows you to focus your time and attention on God. When combined with prayer and time in God's word, fasting strengthens your faith, and it helps you become more confident of God's power. I think that is so, so profound. Read that again. When combined with prayer and time in God's word, fasting strengthens your faith and helps you become more confident of God's power. Now, a couple of questions that you can ask. These are three questions that you can ask. What are some of the benefits of fasting? You can hear God better. You can focus better. It's so many answers to that question. What are some of the benefits of fasting? Listening for God to talk to you. Sometimes we have to be quiet. I know it's hard for some people, but sometimes you just got to be quiet and sit still and listen for God to speak to you and answer your prayers. Like, he don't always answer them when we want to. Of course we know that. But he do answer them. But if you sit still, even when you pray, when you're on your knees or you're standing or whatever, when you're praying, when you're done praying, you don't want to get up right away. You want to just stand still and listen and wait for God to speak to you. Because he will talk to us. He loves talking to us. He'd love for us to talk to him. I love talking to God. So, another question that you can ask. How does fasting bring you closer to God? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How does fasting bring you closer to God? Because that's that intimate time that you spend with him. And he loves that. He loves for us to spend time with him. That is one thing I love doing. Sometimes, of course, we all get busy and tied up in our day-to-day lives and the hustle and the bustle of, you know, just everyday life. And we get so into what we're doing from day to day, we forget to spend time with God. But you can be in your car. You can be walking down the street. You could be in the store. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, and you think about the goodness of God and all of the things that he have done for you and the things that he have brought you through, you can pray. You don't have to always be on your knees. You don't have to be in church. You can pray anywhere at any given moment. And that's what God loves. He loves that, that we just take time out to be with him no matter what. So my kids laugh at me because, you know, I can be somewhere and I just start thinking about God and I get happy. I do. Like, Mama, what is wrong with you? Oh, I'm just thinking about, you know, God did this, this, and this, you know. And I just start praising him and worshiping him. Now, don't let him answer a prayer and I'm out in public. Like I'll use today for an example, or last night. God, he blessed me. Oh my goodness, y'all, he blessed me. And I wasn't expecting it. And I ran in the room and I told my daughter, I'm like, look at this. Tell me what this says. What is this number, right? And she looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, no, seriously, tell me what this number is. And I was looking in one of my bank accounts. And she read the number. And I just started shouting and jumping and screaming. She was like, Mark, get out of my room with that. Get out of my room. Because I'm telling you, I don't have to be, listen, I don't care where I am. When God blesses me, I give him the praise. I give him the glory. I don't care how crazy I look. I don't care who talks about me. It does not matter, because one thing I am not afraid of and I am not ashamed of, that is to praise God wherever I am. You could talk about me all you want to, but I don't have but one person to worry about, and that's my Father in heaven. But that's just, you know, I just wanted to put, you know, just throw that out there. I thought it was funny, you know, sitting there and asking her, you know, it was a pretty large number, you know, and I was, like I said, I wasn't expecting, but that's how God is. You know, when you ask him for something and you wait and you wait and you think he forgot, God does not forget. I mean, he forgets our sins. You know, but when you pray and ask him for something, he doesn't forget about it. It's kind of like he make you work for it, you know. You become humble in waiting. I know I do. I become humble in waiting. And sometimes it's like, I'm like, okay, God, you know I'm going through this, and I don't know what's going on. Did you hear me? You know, but I always know that he heard me. And I know that he's going to come through for me. So we just have to be patient. And that's patient. It's funny because my grandson, he always talk about patience. If I get to doing something and I get anxious, Nana, you got to have patience. Nana, sit down. Go over there and sit down now because you need to get patience. And I think it's so hilarious. Like last night, he was doing something. He got frustrated with his toy. And he was like, I'm going over here because I need to get patience. I'm going over here on the other chair. I thought it was cute. You know, this is a four-year-old talking. But that's one thing we need to practice, too, is patience. when we pray and ask God for something, you have to be patient. You got to wait, steadfast, and just wait on Him. You know, that's where that fasting and prayer comes in. And standing still and waiting on God and listening for God to answer our prayers. I love it, the man. I love him so much, and I just thank him for all that he's brought me through. Times when I did not think I could make it, he brought me through. That's why I love him. Okay, on to the next question. Now it says, what is one thing you enjoy that you can give up for a day? Now that's one thing that pregnant women and kids can do, because they can't, you know, they can't stop eating because they need the nutrients in their body. So they can just take away one thing just for a day or for a couple of days. You know, you can try it out for one day, and if you're not used to fasting, I would say take it slow. Do it for like a day or do it for 3 days to get yourself used to not having something in your body, or even if you're just taking away something that you like, whether it be TV or listening to music or going out, whatever it is, you know. You can take baby steps. That's okay. He's okay with that. You know, he's okay with you taking baby steps as long as you take a step. You know, he said when I take one step, when he'll take two. Yeah, that's our God, y'all. All right, now that was on fasting. The next one is meditation. The spiritual discipline of meditation. Talking to God. We want to thank God for the power of His Word. Ask Him to help us focus on His Word throughout the day so that you can become more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Don't we all want to become more like Jesus? I know I do. And I ask Him, you know, Lord, make me more like You. And some people be like, well, you better be careful. You better be careful asking Him to make you more like Him, because you're not going to be able to do this and you're not going to be able to do that. I'm like, I'm okay with that. That's all right, because I do. I want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to be like Gina, you know, because my way ain't always the right way. It's just people have a tendency to feel like if I pray and ask God to make me more like Him, then I can't do the things that I want to do. Like my girlfriend, she, for instance, and I use her as an example, she drinks, but that's her business. But she says she prays. She said, I ask God to take the taste away from my mouth because I don't want to drink anymore. And she came to my house and she was like, girl, boy, when you ask that man to do something, he will do it. I said, yes, he will. I said, but why you say that? Because she hadn't told me yet. She said, because I asked him to take the taste of liquor out of my mouth, and I didn't know he was going to just snatch it away right then. I said, yes, sometimes he takes it right away, and then sometimes he weans you off of it. Because she was like, I can't even stand the smell. I said, that's a good thing. I said, but that's how God works. So be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. You have to be very specific when you are praying and asking God for things and asking God to remove things from your life and remove people from your life. I had another person say to me the other day, oh, well, I don't know. I don't hear from my friend anymore. And her friend said, well, didn't you pray and ask God to move people out of your life that didn't mean you any good? She said, yeah. She said, okay, then maybe that was somebody that didn't mean you no good, and God removed them out of your life. He will do it. He will do it. And I do it all the time. When I feel like someone is in my life and they don't mean me any good and they're taking me off the path that God has me on, I'm like, Lord, I need You to remove. I don't name no names. I just say, Lord, can You please remove anyone that is in my life that don't mean me any good, anyone that is in my life that's going to distract me and deter me from the path that You have me on. And eventually, God will start removing them. He will wean them right on out of your life. So be careful. Be careful. If you don't mean it, don't ask for it. Okay? So, let's go a little bit deeper. Sometimes people say, I need to chew on that meaning. Okay. I need to chew on that meaning. That means they need to think about it. I need to think about that for a while. When we meditate on scripture, we're taking time to think about it and chew on it. If we ate our food without chewing it, we'd hardly be able to taste it. So the more we chew, the more we enjoy the taste and gain strength. It's the same with God's word. When we take time to think about what it means and how we can use it in our lives, we benefit much more than what we would just reading it and never think about it again. At Romans 12 and 2 says that we change our lives by renewing our mind or changing the way we think about things. We can learn to think like God by meditating on His Word. And what better word to meditate on than God's Word? It don't get any better than that. It don't get any better than meditating on God's Word. Some people, when they say meditation, they think in a negative way. But you can meditate spiritually. Matter of fact, my bishop, Bishop Robert O. Sanders Sr., he did a CD on meditation, and it is awesome. It is so awesome. So you can meditate. Just meditate on God's word. Don't meditate on worldly things. Don't meditate on demonic things. Just read God's word, study His word, and meditate on it. Just get it in your spirit and let it resonate in your spirit. That's what you're doing when you're meditating on God's word. Just let it get in there and resonate, and you can be doing something out of the ordinary or just doing your regular day chores or whatever at work or whatever, and something will trigger it and you'll hear that word. That word will start coming out of you because you've been meditating on it. So it gets locked in there. It's like you seal it. And whenever you need it, you unseal it and it comes out. And you don't even realize it, but you start just spitting it out. Like, I could be talking to someone that's going through something, and I was doing it the other day, and I was like, I'm like, I don't know where this came from, but this must be the Holy Spirit talking, because this ain't me. You know when God is talking through you, because you know it's not something that you would be saying. And I think that comes from meditating on His word, reading His word, fasting, praying, studying the scripture, worshiping God. You have to make these four disciplines a daily ritual. And I don't mean ritual in a bad way. I mean in a good way, in a spiritual way. Fasting, meditating, studying scripture, worshiping. And of course, when you say fasting, you think in praying, because when we fast, we're always going to be praying. You know, you fast and you pray. It goes together, right? It goes together. And some of the questions that you can ask on the spiritual disciplines of meditation is, what things do you spend most of your time thinking about? That's whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly, whatever. How might your life change if you spent more time thinking about God's word? Wow, that's a good one, because, wow, just think about that one. I'll read that one again. How might your life change if you spent more time thinking about God's word? Your life will change drastically. And mine too. When I say this, I'm talking about me too. Okay? Now, what's one passage of scripture that you would like to begin meditating on? So that's what you do. You find a scripture It doesn't matter what scripture it is. Just let it resonate in your spirit and meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night. You can get up in the morning and pray and meditate on that scripture. Just continue to say it in your mind. You say it during the day. You say it in the morning. You say it at night. And you'll find yourself in a situation. And when you got that scripture in your head, it's done resonated in your spirit. That scripture is going to come out of you, and it's going to get you through whatever it is that you're going through. That's why meditation is so very important. Meditating on His Word. Like I say, don't misunderstand when I say meditation. I don't mean go and sit and cross your legs and meditate. You know. I ain't going to go there because everybody have different religions, you know. But it is going to be a part two because I'm not going to have time to finish all four of them. But I did get through those two. The first one was the spiritual discipline of fasting. The second one was the spiritual discipline of meditation. I'll cover the other two in 2 weeks. Okay. Guys, it's been a privilege, a pleasure just being with you on this morning. I love my family, my Blog Talk Radio family. I love you guys. I love coming before you and sharing a word with you. And I pray that this word has resonated in someone's spirit. Like I said, don't forget, you're going to fast, you're going to pray, you're going to meditate, you're going to study the scripture, and you're going to worship God. Those four things are four of the most important things in our day-to-day life. Learning spiritual discipline. God bless you guys. I will talk to you soon. I pray that you have a blessed and a prosperous day. In Jesus' name, this is Regina Keenan, Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Another program with those of you throughout the United States and everyone listening around the world. The melodic tone you're hearing is one of my favorite musicians, Tom Braxton. The tune is called Tuesday Morning. So I pray you're having an incredible, incredible sunny day. This is your host, Cheryl Cormier, coming to you live from Houston, Texas. And I welcome you to today's program, which is made possible because of two truly remarkable ladies. Show producer, Kyla Paget, the CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. And Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World. It is such a blessing to be part of their vision to reach and empower God's people around the world. Today I want to share a very significant milestone and something that has allowed me to check a significant goal and dream of mine off of my checklist, and that is to become a published author. Being invited to participate in an amazing book project has been part of making this an incredible year for me. You may remember me talking about the book previously, but I am delighted to say it is finally here. It's called Entrepreneurial Elevation, and I'm proud to be one of 31 co-authoring entrepreneurs. We all share strategic lessons and or personal stories that are designed to inspire, empower, and to challenge you to ground your goals deep in commitment and determination. If you don't consider yourself an entrepreneur or you have a traditional corporate job, the book is still for you. You can still learn something from each author that you can apply in your daily life. Even in a corporate job, having the mindset that you are an entrepreneur who's providing a service to that company that mirrors whatever your job position is, that's a great perspective and a skill to have. Because in Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for man. We are encouraged to work hard and to do our best in everything that we endeavor. We may be leaders, but our ultimate boss is the Lord. We must be careful to honor those he has put in authority in our lives and to work hard knowing that he sees every deed, thought, and motivation. So for just a moment, if you are working in a corporate job, before I get into talking a little bit more about the book, let's play a game of what if. What if you own the business where you work? How would you perform? Working for someone else is the equivalent of being paid to be trained for running your own business one day. So it's best to take full advantage of the opportunity to learn everything that you could possibly learn. Think about it. If you work in marketing or finance or the mailroom, learn everything that you can learn so that it's information, it's knowledge, it's a skill that you'll be able to take with you to your next position or take with you when you start your own business. If at all possible, take advantage of other opportunities within the company as well. Moving from one department to another will help you gain the overall experience of how each department functions and how it contributes to the company's overall success. But don't limit yourself to just vertical promotion. Sometimes that lateral shift will put you on a better path that will allow you to reach your ultimate goal, whether that's elevating to a management position, a C-suite position within the company, or, as I said earlier, starting your own business. So the second what-if question is, what if you own the business where you work? How creative would you be in streamlining your work process to get more done in your day? How can you do more in your day? Can you do your work in batches? Can you organize your work process better to be more efficient so that you're not going back and forth? Let's take doing work in batches. Let's say if it was data entry. Rather than entering the data for one customer, then stopping to take a call, then going back and entering the data for another customer, then stopping and going to a meeting. That start and stop is disruptive to your streamlined process. So instead, I would suggest save up all of your customer data forms to enter just once or twice a day. Just schedule a block of time on your schedule, and you'll be much more efficient with your use of time and much more productive and probably much more accurate in your data entry as well. Another what-if question is, if you own the business where you worked, what would thinking outside of the box look like? You know, when we work for a company day in and day out, we see all the problems and we often think to ourselves, if only they did it this way, or if they cut out this step or reorganized the process, it would make all the difference and make this whole process much more efficient. These are the things that your manager can't always see for themselves because, let's face it, most of the time, management is always spending time in meetings. So having your insight will be an invaluable asset to your manager. One thing I would always tell my staff is don't come to me with a problem. Also come with a thought-out solution or at least some recommendations. This is a good way on your behalf to be seen as a team player, someone who sees the bigger picture and is not just there for a paycheck, but is conscientious about the work product that you're performing. Here's another. What if you own the business where you work? How would you help your business save money or make money? Which, you know, there's only two ways to improve a company's bottom line. That's to decrease expenses or increase sales. I once worked for a fabulous company in California that did some incredible things for the employees. On one occasion, they flew all of us and our families on chartered jets down to Los Angeles for an all-expense-paid Disneyland vacation. They used to give year-end profit-sharing bonuses. They would host employee parties and picnics, and they would even pay for gym memberships. I worked in a department that traveled a lot and had to participate in a lot of seminars and conventions, so I had a clothing allowance. And others who were in top management had company cars to drive. But once I overheard someone on my staff who was in the customer service department talking as I was turning the corner. And what she said was, let's not do too much over the quota, because if Cheryl thinks we can do more, she'll just set our goal for the next week to be even higher. This took me aback, one, because outside of work she was a personal friend, but because I really couldn't see how or why anyone who was benefiting from a company treating them so well wouldn't want to help that company be as successful as possible, whether that's providing excellent customer service, helping to increase loyalty, and encouraging customers to want to, be more consistently a part of working with our business. So, that would only grow our salaries and our sales, and it would provide us, give the company a way to continue to provide all of the many wonderful extras that they were known providing for us. So some ways to help a company save money by doing whatever you do more efficiently and not being wasteful with the company resources. Ways to help the company make more money is to improve your product or service, to ensure every customer receives great service to keep them coming back. You know, one of my mentors would always tell me that the key to success in business is to show up and perform not for the position you have, but for the one that you want. I followed that example, and I was always blessed with the opportunities to promote, and I was usually seen as very valuable in the eyes of senior management. If you want to be a manager, observe and learn from the current manager. They love to share what they know. They love to pass on their knowledge. So learn what to do and what not to do through their example. I've worked with several people over the years, and looking back, there are a few that I wished I had asked them to become my mentor so that I could learn from them and be able to grow my knowledge and my skill base. So my point is that everything in this book, Entrepreneurial Elevation, whether you are an entrepreneur or you're working for someone else, it will truly help you. Each chapter is 600 words or less, about 3 or 4 pages. So each chapter is a quick and easy read. My contribution is a chapter about learning to hustle, understanding and navigating the journey from being an employee to an entrepreneur. Hustle is an acronym to help explain the mental shift which is essential for bringing your dreams to life. So let's go through them. H is for heed your calling and be true to your vision. Don't let anything or anyone reshape your vision into what they think it should be. God gave it to you just the way he wanted you to have it and just the way he wanted you to execute it. Have you ever had a vision for getting something done and you share it with someone else? Then here they come with all of their bright ideas, which sound pretty good, so you end up modifying your plans and how you want to go about achieving your goal. Then when something happens and it doesn't work out, you end up being disappointed in yourself because that's not how you wanted to do it in the first place. Or even if everything goes well, you're not quite as happy because at the end of the day, the result that you achieved was not your original dream, but it was someone else's. So remember, it's your calling. It's your vision. Where do you think the inspiration for the thought or idea came from in the first place? I like to think of it as God whispering pieces of his plans for our lives in our ears. And surely, if he allows us to dream it, he'll empower and equip us or provide the resources we need to be successful. So heed your calling and stay true to your vision. U is for understanding that no means next opportunity. No, it's not failure. It's not game over. But it's just a stop sign. You know, when you're driving and you come to a stop sign, you don't turn off the engine, get out of the car, and start to walk. You just stop for a moment. You assess the situation by looking both ways for other cars. You decide when it's your turn to go. And when you have the all clear, you press the gas and you proceed along your journey to the next stop sign. In pursuing a goal or a project, it's no different. Being told no, hitting a roadblock, can be like a knife to the gut. And I know because I've been cut several times. But I try now to appreciate the opportunity to pause, reflect, and assess the direction that I was headed. What could I do differently, and what's to be learned from the situation? And here's the biggie. Being grateful for the bigger issue, trouble, or downfall that I was spared from. You know, we hear about these things all the time. Someone who was upset that they missed their flight, they were late getting to the airport, but then later they found out that the plane had crashed. Or someone whose car wouldn't start, causing them to be late getting to work. But they were spared being part of a major accident. In 1989, I lived in Central California, and we experienced a major earthquake. I think it was 6.9 on the Richter scale. I was driving on the highway with a real estate agent, and I remember we were on our way. I was looking at a townhome that I was interested in purchasing. The car started swaying back and forth on the freeway, as if we were on a roller coaster. And, you know, we saw other cars pull to the side, but we still didn't know what was going on. The radio had gone dead, and so we pulled off the freeway at a service station. That's when we heard that it had been a major earthquake. Now, the epicenter was more than 100 miles away, but the ripple effect was crazy, and we had aftershocks, and I don't know who named them aftershocks or for what reason. They felt like just more earthquakes to me. We had aftershocks for days. On the news, we learned that there was a bridge in the Bay Area, appropriately called the Bay Bridge, that was a double-decker. All the traffic on the top level was southbound, and that was, you know, four to six lanes. And on the lower level, there were all the northbound lanes. After checking on all my friends who lived in that particular area, thankfully everyone was okay. But I was shaken when I spoke to one friend who lived just off of the Bay Bridge, and her exit was just a mile away from a huge section of the double-decker bridge that had collapsed in the earthquake. She had only exited for some reason early that day, one exit earlier. Otherwise, she would have been one of those precious souls who lost their lives after being stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic with no way to go, no way to move forward, no way to go backward, and they were crushed beneath the weight of the collapsed upper deck. So all I could say in that instance was, but God. No could be a delay that keeps you from making a mistake, going into business with someone that you shouldn't, making a major purchase that you should not, or entering into a bad relationship or even a marriage. It's important to stop looking at no as a curse or failure and appreciate it for the many hidden blessings that we may never even completely understand. So no simply means next opportunity. Learn from it and keep it moving. S is for scaling up your business. You'll start out working very hard for your business, as all entrepreneurs will, but you must create strategies that won't tie your income directly to just your efforts. The joys of entrepreneurship, time and financial freedom, are not possible without exponential income growth or time to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Here's an example of scaling up. If you work 10 hours to produce $1,000 in revenue, how can you generate $2,000 in revenue but only work 15 hours or less? When you can do that, that means that you found ways to automate some of your processes so that it doesn't take quite as long to get the job done. Or another way is to create a residual income opportunity that continues to pay you for the original effort you put into the work. Let's take an actor on a TV series, for example. Let's say they make $5 million over the course of five seasons of work. And I know $5 million is a lot of money. But money is like the sands of time. It just slides through your fingers. And once you've spent it, once it's gone, it's not coming back. But an actor scales up by contracting for back-end rewards and getting paid a residual every time a rerun of their shows are aired. So look for opportunities to scale up. T is for tune in the right noise and tune out the white noise. That's right. Let me say that again. Tune in the right noise, R-I-G-H-T, and tune out the white noise, W-H-I-T-E. Adopting a daily practice to feed your mind with positivity, inspiration, and knowledge. Then be just as vigilant to block out anything and anyone who does not add value or increase the potential of your dreams. It is so rewarding to get support and encouragement from others, but it's just as equally devastating to be fed a lot of negativity. The trick is discerning which is which. As a litmus test, I always assess how I'm feeling after a conversation with someone. Do I feel encouraged or discouraged? Am I excited and bursting with ideas to keep my dream alive, or do I now feel doubtful and hopeless and feel like my dream is doomed to fail? Did they help me identify more resources, a better approach, or did they build up my confidence? Or did they plant the spirit of fear, which we know is not of God? This is when we have to learn to separate ourselves, sometimes even from family and close friends. It doesn't mean you don't love them anymore, but they just cannot be part of your circle as it relates to your dream or your vision. Just don't discuss it with them. Don't ask their opinion. Don't share anything with them in terms of your progress. Just keep your circle tight. Think about how you would be when you were bringing home a brand new baby from the hospital. You certainly wouldn't let everybody and anybody come over to visit for the first few months. Even the family, your close family and friends, are told not to come over if they're coughing, sneezing, or think they have any kind of germs. And the lucky ones who do get to come over, we make sure that they're going to wash their hands every time they get close to the baby or want to pick the baby up, and they're certainly told not to be kissing the baby all over its face. That diligence is just how diligent we have to be in protecting our goals and our dreams. L is for lessons and blessings. Every experience is a blessing or lesson. Lessons will come from all directions. So be open to learn what you don't know and grow from the experience. Make it your top priority to learn the business side of your business. Making money is one thing, but keeping and growing your money is the ultimate success. Every lesson is actually a blessing in disguise. Learn from them, and keep them moving. Blessings, of course, should be celebrated, but too many people wait until they reach their final destination. Success is not just your final destination. It's celebrating the small victories and every milestone along the way. Celebrate improving the lives of others and bringing them joy, improving their health, giving them peace of mind, or whatever service or product that you are in business to provide. And finally, E is for elevating your brand. Some people are good at talking about themselves without coming across as bragging, but self-promotion is a big factor for success. It wasn't like that for me as a shy young lady when I started out in business, but I had to learn. Think about your why and craft your unique story. The more others can hear your passion and your words and see your passion and your actions, the more likely they will want to support you in your endeavors and engage with you in your dreams. They will feel excited to share your story with their circle of friends. They'll refer others to you and keep you in mind for other opportunities and deals that they might be able to bring you in on and make you a part of that activity. Once you have a compelling story, you should use social media, networking, and every available resource to promote yourself and your brand. Because that's like planting seeds that will blossom into opportunities and success later. Sometimes I'll give away free coaching sessions just to give potential clients a taste of what they could expect if they hired me to be their success coach. Or I might speak for free just to be in front of an audience of people that I know I could connect with and be able to nurture a long-term relationship with for future business. So always find ways to elevate your brand. It's your why. It's what you stand for. Your brand is the culmination of all of your values. It reflects your integrity, and it gives others the confidence and the desire to be a part of your dream. I shared Colossians 3:23 with you earlier. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. But I have four other scriptures to share with you that relate to hard work. The first is Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. The Lord cares about how you spend your days. He takes interest in helping your endeavors see the light of success. The next one is Proverbs 16:11. Just balance and scales are the Lord. All the weight in the bag are his work. People who are encouraged to be honest in their dealings, are proud of what they do, and create a reputation of Christ-likeness that will cause your church or business or to really shine. Next, I offer 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. While ideas and new beginnings are exciting, creative stimuli for your endeavors, staying the course is the mark of balanced maturity. And finally, Proverbs 14:23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Too much talking about ideas and too little execution can lead to lack. So remember this, your vision, your dream is just a glimpse of God's incredible plan for you and your life. Trust it. He's called you, so he'll equip you. All you have to do is hustle. I pray you were inspired and uplifted by today's program. I hope you're inspired to hustle and to make better, more inspired choices. Before anyone has the book in hand, a friend of mine recently shared with a community of women that she worked with called Sisters for Self-Care, but she shared this quote, "Put on your lipstick and hustle." So today I encourage you to get dressed for success. Put on the whole armor of God and greet the day with joy, commitment, and determination. Hustle. You can do anything you commit yourself to doing. With that, I'm going to be signing off as you listen to the musical styling again of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is Tuesday Morning from his album, Next Chapter. You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. To order your copy of My Proud Work in Entrepreneurial Elevation, just visit my website at CherylACormier.com. Mark your calendar for our upcoming shows. Be sure to tune in every other Tuesday to receive encouragement, inspiration, nuggets of experience, and tools to help you navigate through your success journey. You can get more information about upcoming shows, about guests, and other programs and services, including the book, again, available on CherylACormier.com. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier, where everything shared and everything offered will be done with your success in mind.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.